Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Today's episode of the CF Rundown is brought to you by our friends at Heartland Flags, heartlandflags.com. Iowa State football camp gets underway 1 week from Thursday, and that means that football season will officially be here and in full swing. Honestly, I think that we could say that football season is officially here with the end of the Capital City League last night, the tournament. Iowa State team is now done. It's football season in Central Iowa, and that means it is time to get your Iowa State flag for your tailgate, for your man cave, whatever it may be, from Heartland Flags and heartlandflags.com, the presenting sponsor of the CF Rundown. Rob Gray, what's up, my man?
Not a whole lot. How are you, Jared?
I'm good. Are you ready for some football?
Oh, absolutely, I'm ready.
I think this is probably going to be the last week for a while that we... Is your headphones turned up?
Yeah, tiny bit. Yeah.
Is that better?
Yep,
no, those
that's
are
good.
Me. Is that me or is that you?
I think it was me.
Okay, well, now they're both turned up more. So.
All right, good deal.
I think this will probably be the last time that we do the Monday or do the rundown for a while and talk about basketball.
Yeah. And you know, it's a good thing. Got mm-hmm. a lot to look forward to with football. The countdown to kickoff, you've been producing dutifully and very well. And it just inching that much closer, and heck, we'll be doing interviews before we know it.
Yeah, like I said, fall camp starts a week from Thursday, August 2nd. The media day is the 7th, which would be Tuesday. Yeah, that'd be that next Tuesday. So it's going to be here before we know it. And then all of a sudden, everything will get really, really busy again, and we'll be ready to go.
Absolutely.
But like I mentioned before, last night, the YMCA Capital City League closing out its 2018 season. Terrence Lewis led Hannah Holmes to the league championship after
a big upset.
A big upset, yeah. Over Lions Club of Iowa, who entered the game undefeated with the league MVP. And then a guy that I think was also one of the other most impressive dudes. But first, I want to talk about Terrence Lewis first, because he... You know, last year he was kind of the breakout star of the league. Him and Shayok were kind of the breakout stars of the league. He was the runner-up for the MVP, ended up being the runner-up for the team title. And I think that pretty much everybody walked out of that thing thinking, like, man, you know, Terrence Lewis is going to have a really good freshman year.
Yep.
Obviously, that didn't end up turning out how it was. But he comes back this year to Cap City League, leads his team to the title. Redeems himself, the redemption story.
Mm-hmm.
Finishes third in the league in scoring. He was, what is that, 1, 2, 3, 4. Tied for fourth in the league in assists.
Shot a respectable 39%, I think, from three-point range.
Something like that. Okay, yeah. For some reason, I thought that he wasn't even a candidate for the MVP, but he was. He was way at the bottom of the list. 29.8 points per game, 7.2 rebounds, 4 assists, 22 steals, or 2.2 steals, 56% from the field, 39% from three. But I think he kind of flew under the radar a little bit, you know? I don't think people were talking about Terrence Lewis as much as maybe they were last season at this time.
Yeah. Well, because this freshman season was such a struggle to see the floor, first of all, and then he didn't shoot it well. And then you saw, you know, a real glimmer at the end of the season when, you know, circumstances – but I think he earned it too. I mean, circumstances sort of dictated he would play more.
Mm-hmm.
But he kept, you know, a lot of stick-to-itiveness for him. And you saw signs of what he can do, which I think is he's got a really diverse and you know, impressive skill set.
Yeah. See, and obviously coming into the league this year, the people that everybody was really excited to see was the freshmen. And Talen Horton-Tucker, you know, wins the league scoring title at 36.4 points per game, averaged 11 rebounds a game, 3.6 assists, 2.4 steals, shot 51% from the field, and 28% from three. But his team wasn't great. Mm-hmm. He had to carry that team a lot of the time. And the thing I will give Terrence Lewis, I will give THT, is neither one of them had another Iowa State guy next to them to really help them out mm-hmm. during this thing. That's the thing that made it most impressive to have for what THT or for what Terrence did in leading them to the championship, because he, like I said, I mean, they just he didn't have another guy. He had Nick McGlynn. Mm-hmm. Jordan Stotts, who is a guy who's played in the league for a long time. He had 30 last night in the championship game. And then Nick McGlynn had 16. Terrence had 42. The only other guy that was in double figures was Shamond Ivory. And then other than that, it was just like a bunch of guys that were just, you know, kind of their role players.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were like the epitome of a team in the Cap City sense, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good thing.
Shout out to my guy Paul Pedersen, the champ, coach of the Hannah Holmes team.
Absolutely. But nice to see Terrence be able to mesh with other people like that, because you have to develop at least a semblance of chemistry that way. And like you said, he did it with guys he fully didn't know in the least. So that's very positive as well.
For sure. But the breakout star of the league was the league's MVP. Had probably one of the best debut seasons in Cap City history. Tyrese Haliburton, who was not a guy, I think, going into this that anybody was like, he wasn't a guy that I would have picked to be the MVP.
Yeah.
You know, I did say on this podcast, like the week before the league started, that I thought that their team had the potential to be really good, that I thought that I could see them winning the championship with him and Michael Jacobson, because they seemed like the two guys most likely to play most of the time. And they went undefeated in the regular season all the way up until that championship game, ended up losing by 4 points in the championship game. But his stat line, 31.4 points per game, second in the league, 6.8 assists, led the league, 5.8 rebounds, 2.4 blocks, led the league, 1.4 steals, shot 55% from three, and then shot 72.4% from the field, which was an all-time league record. And he became the first player in league history to lead the league in assists and blocks.
That's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
I mean, the field goal percentage in particular. I mean, assists and blocks, your eyes pop out a little bit with that. But 72%, and you know how they're shooting in that league. There's a good volume. I mean, he scored 31.4 points per game, so there's a decent amount of volume shooting going on. And nonetheless, he's knocking down almost three out of every four shots, which is unheard of. I wonder what the previous record was. I'd imagine it was more of a big man, not somebody also putting up a bunch of threes and hitting 55% of them.
I'm sure I could ask Derek. And Derek Hanna, the, you know,
I would guess
who has run the league
like
for quite a while.
64-65% maybe.
Yeah, I would guess it's probably something like that. I wouldn't be surprised if it was maybe George that did it, because I know he won the MVP 1 year when his team won the league. But no, I mean, that is, every time I go out there, I would watch that team, and I would just, there was something he would do that would just leave me a little bit more impressed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, man, this kid, he's got something, you know. And I'm not sure. I had, you know, I tweeted out his stats last night saying that, you know, that I thought it was one of the best debut seasons. I mean, it's one of the best that I'd seen. And Terrence was really good last year, but he was better this year than what Terrence was last year. And I continue to think, or now I had people asking me, do you think that this means that he will work his way into the rotation? I don't know. What I do think that he would bring in comparison to some of the other guys that they can put out there is he is a little, he put up 31 points per game, but he is a little bit more of that pure point guard guy. And I think you can see that with that field goal percentage, that he's being very selective about his shots. The shots he's getting are good shots. And other than that, he's working more to set other people up than he is to set up himself. And I think that's something that you could see from him on his high school film. He was always trying to get guys in good position to score. That's something that I think he would bring a little bit different than some of these other dudes that they have that are going to play that position. Like Lindell, he is going to play more point guard and, you know, needs to do a better job of being able to facilitate and be a playmaker. But at the end of the day, he's always going to be a score first guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he does, you know. Nick Babb is, I don't think he's really going to ever do anything great. He's just, like, solid at everything, you know. THT is a scorer. They don't have that many guys that are just going to go out there and be your setup man.
Yeah.
Like, even Monte, when he was younger, he obviously got buckets, But it wasn't like he was going out there every night like, yeah, I'm going to go out and get mine. Yeah. You know,
like there were lots of games where he was like 6 of 9 from the field or 5 of 11 or, you know.
Right.
And then he'd have 12 assists and one turnover.
He was the ultimate guy that would have – his stat line would be 12 points, 9 assists – and
six rebounds
and 3 steals or something that, you know? And it's like, on the surface, you look at that and it's like, man, that's not that solid. But when you do that every single night, then you're like, okay, well, that's actually really, really, really good, you know? And towards the end of the league, Tyrese was threatening to be a double-double guy, triple-double guy every single night, you know? And obviously, that league, we've talked about this before, that league is obviously not the Big 12. But if he can continue to grow and continue to get stronger, there's something that he brings that I don't think a lot of other guys on this team bring. And I think that it'll be interesting to see if he can – I mean, even with Monte, his freshman year, going into the season, we didn't really even think he was going to hardly play.
Yeah.
You know? And then halfway through the year, he's a starter, and it's arguable that he's one of the best players on the team.
Yeah. Well, and it allowed Kane to be more of a scorer because he came in as a quote-unquote point guard. But you know, Monte backed him up, I think, some of the time. But then it got to be where they'd be on the court at the same time a decent amount and were really good together. And, that's a great example. What really impressed me the most about Halliburton, too, is he wasn't talked about as much as the other guys.
See, and that's I was talking to my buddy that I went to the game with last night, and he follows this stuff, but not nearly as close as not nearly as close as we do, obviously, for one, and not nearly as close as a lot of fans do. And so he knew these names, but he didn't know a lot of the other stuff. And he was like, so is this the guy that was rated the highest? And I was like, no, he was like third.
Yeah.
Because I think Condit was fourth and he was third, but they were both pretty similar. I was like, he was third, but I honestly watched his film and I probably liked him just as much as either of those other two guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, he was the Gatorade Player of the Year in Wisconsin. Yep, you know, he won the state championship up there. And he was like, dude, this dude's awesome. And I was like, yeah, man, that's what I'm telling you. I've been watching this guy for 4 weeks. He's awesome. And if he can bring that into the Big 12, it'll be interesting to see because it's just like I said, I wouldn't be surprised at all if by the halfway point of the season, he figures out a way to work himself, maybe not into the every game rotation, but to where he's getting on the court a little bit and making some plays.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, given his pedigree, and he clearly took this seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't put up those types of stats and without looking at this as something not just, oh, man, I'm going out there. I'm going to see if I score 60, you know. He worked on his game, clearly, and that's the attitude that certainly not everyone takes for the Cap City League. I mean, sure, they might be like, well, my shooting will get better because I'm shooting, you know, 30 times a game. But he seems to have that thing that we've liked so much in a lot of Iowa State's players in recent past, that work ethic combined with a certain type of desire and it factor. And, you know, again, we not a minute of Big 12 play, like you said, but you know, do deer in the headlights happen there? We don't know, of course, but his pedigree and what he did, again, in a very different animal, the Cap City League would suggest that won't happen, that he'll be ready for the big stage.
Yeah, like I mentioned kind of in passing earlier, Michael Jacobson was another one of the guys that I was most impressed by during the league. He wasn't overly efficient during their championship game last night, 15 of 34 from the field, knocked down 6 threes. He was one of those guys that, well, for one, I don't think he'll ever shoot near as much as he does in the Cap City League. But if he can come out and knock down some threes like he was able to do during this league, if he can, and I've been saying this for 2 years or whatever, a year and a half since he committed, that he's going to elevate their ability to rebound the basketball. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to be a better defender than what they've, you know, had at some times on the perimeter from that 4-man spot. So I continue to believe that he's going to be one of the key cogs of whatever's going to end up happening with this team this year.
Kind of a glue guy with really good skills, not just a guy that's scoring might score 5 points and get 3 rebounds by being a great help in so many ways intangibly, but a guy that'll still get double-digit rebounds a lot.
And you know who he is? he's the dude that everybody in the Big 12 is going to hate on Iowa State. Yeah. Like, Iowa State hasn't had one of those guys. Mm-hmm. And, well, I guess maybe George. But yeah, even then, it was hard to really not like George, you know. He's your Spangler, your Dylan Ozakowski, the guy that most times he's going to come out and he's just going to beat the crap out of people. And he's going to maybe get 7 or 8 points.
Adrian.
Yeah. Yeah, Nathan Adrian, He'll get 7 or 8 points, he'll grab 6 or 7 rebounds, and just play good defense, and just be like a thorn in everybody's side. But then all of a sudden, there'll be a night at Hilton Coliseum, like Ozakowski did this year, where all of a sudden he steps out and goes 6 of 7 from three.
Yeah, 25 points and 12 boards or something.
Right, and you're like, okay, well, where the hell did that come from? Screw this guy. And that's the kind of thing that I can envision, where most nights he's not going to do anything crazy, but then all of a sudden another night he'll come out and just like he'll knock down a bunch of threes and everybody will be – all the other team's fans will be pissed off.
Here's my dream scenario for – I think that'll happen more than once, but when that happens on the road – he's named the bum of the game in Morgantown, and he just comes out. Cyclones are down like 8 points with 6 minutes left in the second half, and he hits like 3 threes and scores like 12 points down the stretch, and the Cyclones eke out a win in front of the Mountaineer faithful.
And then he flips him the bird.
He knocks over the musket man.
Gives him the double Melvin edge him.
There you go.
Just kidding.
We're not advocating for that.
No. Didn't somebody else do that too? Did Anthony Booker do that to somebody?
Yeah.
It was just, it had a little run there.
It was a little bit more surreptitious with Booker. It was a little bit.
No. Melvin.
What I got in my pocket here? Oh.
Right. Melvin's was certainly not surreptitious.
It was just like,
if I remember correctly, he was. I think there's a picture where he's just got it right up in the air. Man. Those Mormons probably weren't very nice people that day, I would imagine.
They were not.
I imagine they were vicious.
They are ardent fans.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
I saw, what was that guy's name? The dude who got poked in the eye by
played there for 8 years.
Yeah.
Eric. Is his name Eric?
Yeah, it's like Eric Mikus or something like that. I can't remember for sure. I saw him at the Summer League. I sat right next to him last year when I was out there. That was kind of funny. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about the basketball tournament when we come back here on the CF Rundown presented by Heartland Flags.
Hello, friends. We'll get you back to the Cyclone Fanatic podcast here in just a minute. This is Chris Williams, and I want to tell you guys about a great experience I recently had. Mine was up at Ames Eye Clinic. Now, the same guys, Dr. Kruger and the crew, are also down in Des Moines, so we've got a lot of options for you here. But I had lunch with Dr. Kruger, and I was telling him about some of the symptoms that I had had. I was having headaches all the time. I felt like I needed like in the back of my neck. It was weird. It was like stiff all the time. I noticed, I was having problems reading up close. It was weird. Went in, had my eyes checked, and sure enough, I had some issues going on that I never even thought of. I never had to wear glasses as a kid. You get a little bit older. They hooked me up with some glasses that I use now when I'm looking at my computer screen all day working here at Cyclone Fanatic. Headaches have not completely gone away, but they've gotten a lot better. If you're like me, you probably haven't had your eyes checked in years. It had been over a decade since I had. Really glad that I went in there. Most insurance, it's going to work because they can code it that it's health. There's a lot of different things that can happen with that. I'd love for you guys to give them a shot. Ames Eye Clinic. It's up on 10th Street. If you are in Des Moines, it's over on 2600 Grand Avenue. They will hook you up. Awesome guys. They're big Cyclone fans and proud supporters of CycloneFanatic.com, and they've helped me a lot. All right, here back today to our newest installment of the Cyclone Fanatic podcast.
Welcome back to the Cyclone Fanatic Rundown. Jared Stansbury, Rob Gray, as always, presented by our friends at Heartland Flags. The run for Hilton Magic Legends was brief in the basketball tournament. Whew. Yeah.
That was pretty brutal. What was Chris's tweet? About the Wayne Bolt defense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that it was worse than a Wayne Bolt defense. Yeah.
And I think, first of all, we still should give credit to the guys for trying to put it together.
Right? Yeah.
Marcus, Devin, all those guys. I mean, they had a really good team assembled, and then who could know that 40% of that team wouldn't end up being on the floor
well, yeah, and like,
for a variety of reasons.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to Tony Colosimo, who is like the GM of the team, a bunch of times. And I mean, that's what, when this was all happening Saturday night, I'm seeing it and I'm just like, man, I just really feel bad for those guys right now, because they thought they were going in there with a team that was considerably different than what it ended up being. You know, and Deontay Garrett didn't play. Curtis didn't play. Curtis Stinson didn't play for whatever reason.
Burton, we figured.
And then Deontay Burton didn't play, which that one is a little bit more understandable to me, because – and even though they came out and said that he was eligible to play, I saw that he had signed that deal.
Yeah.
And I think I said at the time, someone asked me, what does this mean for him in the TBT? And I was like, I can't imagine that he's going to play now.
I'd say –
And they came back and did say that he was still eligible to play. But, man, when you're – trying to set yourself up to make a livelihood out of playing the game of basketball.
And a huge jump for him, too. I mean,
and you sign a deal with an NBA team. I mean, I think there's probably a reason that we don't see many dudes who are on two-way contracts that are playing in the basketball tournament, you know, regardless of whether or not they can. I don't think that Oklahoma City would have probably been overly thrilled about that if that had been what he wanted to do.
I guess that he was strongly discouraged.
Yeah,
playing, but they're also like, you know, you're an adult. I mean,
well, that's what I was going to say.
I'm sure if they choose to do it.
Yeah.
We can't stop you.
I'm sure they didn't say no, Deontay, you can't go. But I can't imagine that they're like, oh yeah, go right ahead and go do it. Either.
Yeah.
You know, like that's the kind of thing that I can envision where they're like, we would prefer if you don't play in it, but we're not going to say no, don't go play in it.
Yeah.
But regardless, I mean, it was just
nobody.
When you walk into a situation where you've got Daryl Bowie, Boo Boo Paulo, your starting lineup, and I love Boo Boo. I've played noon ball with him for a long time. Great guy when he's back from playing professionally. Daryl had a great stretch as a Cyclone, you know, that in their run to winning the Big 12 championship game. It's about my only thoughts on him after he said that he would ate my lunch on Twitter. and then Donovan Jackson shoots 2 of 9 from 3. So, you know, it goes from being a group of guys that you get really excited about until all of a sudden you've got 3 dudes who were at their peak were bench players for Iowa State in their career. It makes it a little less enthusiastic about it, you know?
Yeah. You'd like a better fate for, well, I mean, Royce turned the ball over a lot. I mean, you don't really have a point guard on that team, so you got to use the point forward. Tyrus did what he usually does. He did some big threes. I mean, what was it outside of him you told me? He was 6 of 12 from 3, and the rest of the guys were 2 of 14.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Donovan went 2 of 9.
Yeah, so it's always great to see Tyrus fill it up. You can almost count on that.
See, that's what's kind of funny about this, is that Tyrus goes 6 of 12 from 3, and Donovan goes 2 of 9. And if you had told me before the game that was what each of them were going to go from 3, I wouldn't have been surprised at all, you know? We've seen that from Donovan.
Yep. We've also seen him go 7 and 9 too.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. You could have said, yeah, Donovan's gonna go 6 of 12, and I'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Or you could say, oh, he's gonna go 2 for 9. I'd say, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it just, like, I don't know. That it was tough. Gonna be tough for them once they got into a situation where they weren't gonna have some of those guys. And then, like you mentioned, when Royce has 5 assists and 10 turnovers, it's gonna be a tough night.
Yep. Yep. And, I mean, again, it's great that they put it together, and I know they got some good support from people, and you should support it. I mean, they're trying to put together – it seems like a really cool event.
Yeah.
Great opportunity for those guys to play. It just, yeah, I mean, completely hamstrung by the fact that some guys – do we even have any clue why Garrett didn't play? They were putting out videos of him talking
about playing.
Not that I've ever
heard. Yeah, not that I've ever heard. See, and this is why – Iowa State having so much success with guys getting in the NBA, like, almost hamstrings them a little bit, where you got, you know, a lot of your best guys that you've had are either having so much success overseas that it's, like, not worth it to come back, or they're in the NBA, you know?
Yeah.
Like a Chris Babb or a Melvin Ejim, a Dustin Hoge. Like,
Matt
if
Thomas.
They could get some of those guys to come back and play, I mean, they could put a team together that could win.
Mm-hmm.
But when... Either I don't know if it's not worth it for them to come play, or if they just don't want to. I don't know what that situation is.
Yeah.
But even the guys that they're getting outside of a Royce and outside of a Will Clyburn,
if they could get Will Clyburn to.
Most of these other guys are like secondary dudes, like in the grand scheme of Iowa State basketball.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, Tyrus was obviously a great player, but he was never the star.
Yeah.
You know, Jameel was a good player, but he was never the star. And some of these other teams are able to go and get the guys who are the best guys mm-hmm. on the team, you know. So it's tough. It's a process. See where it goes. I hope they keep doing it because it's cool to see them put it together. But if they're ever going to go and really do something, then they've got to get these guys that commit to actually show up and play.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And again, we don't know all the circumstances there. And then, you know, except Deontay's would seem – it just makes sense for him not to go ahead and do it. But, I agree. I echo what you said. Kudos to these guys putting together. I'm sure it was a lot of hard work and a lot of stuff to do outside of their regular
– Just a very difficult – or a very disappointing culmination of the whole thing.
Yeah, no question about that.
All right, man. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you, and thanks to our friends.
Yeah, thanks to Heartland Flags for being the presenting sponsor of the CF Rundown each and every week. Talk to you again soon, dude.
See you, man.
Peace, guys.